cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. My Lord, you are the Supreme Pure, and you're full in all six opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Manoj, can you cut down the volume a little bit? Thank you. Purport. Atheistic men think that the cosmic manifestation has come about by chance, by a combination of matter without reference to God. Materialistic so-called chemists and atheistic philosophers always try to avoid even the name of God in relation to the cosmic manifestation. For them, God's creation is impossible to understand because they are too materialistic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramahamsa, or the Supreme Pure, whereas those who are sinful, being very much attached to material sense enjoyment, and therefore engaging in material activities like asses, are the lowest of men. All their so-called scientific knowledge is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. They cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The next verse does not have any purport. Next two verses, so I'm supposed to read them as well. Text 48. My dear Lord, it is after your endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their duties, with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his head like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality who has thousands of hoods. Text 49. Shukadev Goswami continued, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anant Deva, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, thank you for joining us, specifically Mohit Prabhu and Rasa Mataji. Thank you, so nice to see you. And Sri Radhika from St. Louis is here as well. Thank you. And of course, thanks everyone else too for joining us. The theme of Chitraketu's prayers, it goes from one topic to another. And this is the last two verses. These are the last two verses of his prayers. And then the Lord Anantadev, Sankarsana, he responds. So that's tomorrow. Now, Chitraketu, about two verses ago, he talked about how persons who are very civilized, those who follow their varna and ashram, they accept the authority of the Vedas. And they try to perfect their lives by following that authority of the Vedas. And because the Vedas have prescribed certain duties, they follow those duties. And they are uplifted. they're purified. And the next verse talks about chandalas, those who are very low in that sense that they don't want to be civilized. But even by hearing Krishna's name even once, they become completely purified. Chandalas are those persons who don't, who are not interested in becoming civilized. They're not interested in uplifting their consciousness. They're only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all. So for them, Krishna has made a very, very, concessional pathway. And that is, they just have to hear my name. That's all Krishna accepts. They hear my name, they will be uplifted. Then Chitraketu is talking about in his own situation, just by seeing the Lord, all of his contamination in his heart, which we discussed yesterday, has been completely wiped out. And today he's talking about those persons who don't accept his authority, who don't accept his position. Although Krishna is Sakala Jagat. Sakala means the entirety. All of Jagat means universes. Sthiti, Laya, and Udaya. Generally we say creation, maintenance, and dissolution. Poetically he says maintenance, creation, and dissolution. Maintenance, dissolution, and creation. Sthiti, Laya, and Udaya. Udaya means actually rising. We say Suryodaya, the sun is rising. Udaya means to come into being, to awaken. So the universe becomes manifest, it is maintained, and then it becomes unmanifest. Not just universe, the whole material energy. Although Krishna is the doer for all of this, Sakala, Sthiti, Laya, Udaya, Isha, he's the controller. Yet, people don't see him. More importantly, they don't accept God's authority as the controller of everything. And he says, Duravasita Atmagataye. Duravasita means it's impossible to understand. Why is it impossible to understand? He says, Atmagataye Kuyoginam. Atmagataye means from their position, they are kuyogis. In Sanskrit, if you put the prefix ku, it means bad. And if you put a prefix su, it means good, like subhadra. Bhadra means auspicious. Subhadra means very auspicious. Kuyogi means those who make a show of being transcendentalists, but actually in their mind, and like we discussed yesterday, in their heart, they do not accept God's authority. So Krishna describes them in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita as pretenders. Mithyacharah sa uchyate. He says that their senses are withdrawn from the sense objects, but their minds are dwelling on those objects. Such persons are called mithyachara. Mithya means false, achara means that their behaviors are only there, but their heart is not given to Krishna. So these mithyacharas, he says, kuyoginam bhida. Bhida is the separatedness. Separatedness means, it has multiple meanings, at least two meanings that I can understand. One, they see this material world separated from Krishna. That means there's no connection to Krishna, no connection to God. Another is that they can't even accept or consider that God can be the source of everything. They see so many distinctions, therefore they create so many different paths of religion. They create so many other religious systems. They create so many other false methods, etc. And Bhida also means that because they see separatedness, they themselves consider themselves to be the controllers. They want to control. That's why in this verse, two words are very important. First is Ishaya in the second line, that Krishna is the controller. But the Kuyogi, he wants to be the controller. So that's what, that's the problem. And the second, Paramahamsa. Krishna is the supreme pure. And a Kuyogi, he is not pure. That's what it means. So to see Krishna as the controller, there is something required. And that is a pure heart. As long as one's heart is not pure, one cannot come to accept Krishna as one's authority. It is the impurity in the heart. This is Kuyogi. Those who are attached to the objects of the senses. Because senses, because they are made of dull matter, they have a tendency to contaminate the pure consciousness of the soul. So Kuyogi, because he is not pure, cannot see Krishna. That's the connection. So Krishna describes the mentality of such a Kuyogi in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. They say, this is Krishna speaking. One interesting observation is in the 16th chapter, the chapter is called Divine and Demoniac Consciousness. So there, Krishna described that there are two mentalities, the divine and the demoniac. And this chapter has about 32 verses. Krishna describes the divine mentality in 3 verses. Done. And the rest of the verses are dedicated to the demoniac mentality. Why is that? Because for explaining divinity, eloquence is sufficient. But when you have to define or describe demoniac, there is such variety in it that Krishna takes his time to describe the whole 29 verses of how the demoniac mentality is. And one would wonder, wouldn't we talk more about divine personalities, divine natures? Krishna just 3 verses. Arjuna, let's focus on demoniac quality. Because we are in the material world and there is no shortage of such consciousness. So it's important. Krishna's teaching us. He's educating us. He's giving us the details and the different nuances of such consciousness. So the whole chapter pretty much is disproportionately skewed towards the demoniac mentality. So he's speaking about such mentality and he says, they say, who's they? The Kuyogis, yes. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. Ishaya, no God in control. Here he's saying, you're the Isha, you are the controller. And they say, there is no God. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Now, because there is no controller, Krishna says, following such conclusions, the demoniac, who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence. And in this verse, that no intelligence shows in the word Bhida. Bhidas, they see everything separate or nothing to do with God here. No relationship with God. All this material energy has no relationship with God. Engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige. The demoniac thus illusioned are always sworn to unclean work, attached by the impermanent. Why is pride a natural outcome of such mentality? Kama Krodha is, that's what pride and lust are. But why is lust or pride and false prestige a natural outcome of such mentality? The moment we see things disconnected to Krishna, or not sourced from Krishna, we think we're the doer and we think we are the owners of something. Pride comes from ownership. Pride and false prestige go together. The sense of I am the owner, because this has nothing to do with God, it's available for me, and whoever is the most deserving will get it. And I want to be the most deserving. Right? I have degrees. Either I do it with money or I do it with strength, power. But I am the controller now because it's available. Hey, finders, keepers. Whoever gets more, he keeps. And this is what pride comes. This is how pride comes. And false prestige is giving value to something that doesn't have value. We give so much value to, I usually joke about a credit card. If you get down to it, what is it? It's a piece of plastic. It has some numbers on it, right? And it has our name on it and a magnetic strip in the back. And that we hold on to very dearly, because it's the prestige. And it depends on what card it is. Some people get the green card. Some people have the platinum on it. For some, it's even higher something. And it has some prestige. Don't leave home without your American Express. However, I'm an American Express card holder. I'm the holder of this platinum Diners Club. I think Diners Club is pretty much dead now. Whatever, this card, that card. We give value to, I own a house, I own a car, I own so much money. These things, when they're disconnected from Krishna, they don't have any value. We assign a value. It's an artificial value that we assign to it, because it has to give us some sense of pride. I'm the owner. So Krishna is describing that the base qualities, just coming from kuyogi, just coming from uncontrolled senses, all the problems begin. Pride, false prestige, seeing everything disconnected from Krishna. And the heaviest price to pay for uncontrolled senses is impurity of heart. That's why he's praying to Krishna, Paramahamsaya. This impurity of heart leads to all problems. True? Yeah. When our heart is impure, all problems begin in life and continue. In fact, they become bigger and bigger. Because in and of itself, money, a title, in and of themselves, they're harmless. Great devotees who have fantastic titles. Yudhishthir Maharaj is the emperor of the planet. Or Dhruva Maharaj became the king of the pole star planet. There can't be a bigger title than that. But it didn't cause them problems because their hearts were pure. So impurity of heart causes the greatest distress to oneself and to others. Therefore, Krishna says, thus illusioned, they are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. So Kuyogi and Paramahamsa, that's the, I guess, contradiction here, a paradox. That unless we work on cleaning our hearts, the unclean mentality will guide our lives. And the way we'll see it is that we will look at things in a way without Krishna in the picture. When in our interactions with each other, we forget to see Krishna's presence. In the objects of the world, we forget to see Krishna's ownership of those things. So then problems begin. And so the I guess transformation, if you will, that the heart to become purified, the first thing required is the sense of authority. Now this is something that people don't like, authority. Oh, a bad word. It's an A word. Like there are some words which we say are like bad word, the S word and this word and that. This is the A word. It's like a really bad authority. But this whole verse is about Krishna being the authority. And when we come to begin spiritual life, we engage in sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami gives us 64 rules and regulations, right? Like I'm going to pick a theme from yesterday. Rules and regulations are required to make the uncivilized civilized. Where there is more uncivilized behavior, there are heavier rules. Correct? See around the world. You go to the Middle East. They have gold shops in the Middle East. They have a lot of gold there. And none of those shops have men or anyone taking care of them during daytime. They all go for lunch and afternoon siesta and prayer, whatever they do. There's nobody in the store. No one touches or steals that gold. Because if they steal it, the punishment is their fingers are chopped off. Or if they're caught cheating on their spouse, then like a Saturday morning Ishtagoshti for them is they will stone the person and kill them, the pelt stone. The rules are very strong because the sense of stronger punishment is required. Here also, if we drive in a particular way, if we break the traffic rules, there is punishment. And the more egregious the violation, the heavier the punishment. Right? When we drive in a 30 mile per hour speed limit, we drive at 40, there's some calculation. You get such a big ticket. If you drive 10 miles over speed limit in a school zone, you get a heavier punishment. And if you drive drunk in that zone, they take away your driver's license or they'll even incarcerate. Right? So like that. So Rupa Goswami, of his 64 rules and regulations, right? What are the first most important ones? That he doesn't even give anything else without this first few. Guru Padashraya. That one should accept the shelter of a guru. What does that mean? That without accepting an authority in life, nothing good can come. Of course, bona fide authority. We're not just taking any authority. Bona fide authority. Without authority, without accepting authority, nothing good in life will come. Especially in devotional life. It will not come. First is Guru Padashraya. Then all other 63 are given. Because this is the mentality in Kali Yuga. Seeing difference, separatedness, bidha. Not seeing things connected to Krishna. So as soon as one comes to Krishna, spiritual master, the first lesson is Sambandha Gyan. Without Sambandha Gyan, we cannot practice Krishna consciousness. We won't know what to do. Our Abhideya, which is the practice, the actual engagement in Bhajana Kriya, will not manifest. We'll find it totally tasteless, we'll find it totally absurd, right? Some people will ask, why like this? That's, oh, yeah, that's absurd. Because Sambandha Gyan is not clear that everything belongs to Krishna. That lesson is the most important lesson that is imparted by a guru, Sambandha Gyan. So it said that Diksha, the word Diksha, Maharaj was explaining a few months ago, is a combination of two words, Di and Kra. Di means Divyam Gyanam, transcendental knowledge. And Kra means Papasya Kshayanam, the removal of sinful tendencies from the heart. So these two are given by the Guru in the form of Sambandha Gyan primarily. Because once we start seeing this belongs to Krishna and we have accepted the authority of Krishna's representative, our exploitative mentality begins to reduce. Very, very important. Otherwise, there is no shortage of kuyogis in this world. Or there are dime a dozen. Or a dozen a dime. So many of them are there. Kuyogis. So one may wonder why one cannot accept authority. What are the problems? What is it about authority that freaks people out? There's a list. I'm sure there's a list. So let's identify that list. Go ahead. Shout out. Why people have a problem accepting authority? They don't want to change themselves. And why is that? That's called conditioning. A person is conditioned to doing certain ways, of behaving certain ways. And an authority may restrict that or change that. So they have some reservation. What else? Because submitting to an authority means I have to surrender my free will. That's a conception people carry. Like, I have to be told by others what to do? Come on, give me a break. Why should I be told by others? Sri Radhika? Past experience. Correct. Thank you. Past experiences. Every time I picked an apple from a crate, it was rotten. Therefore, I stopped eating apples altogether. This is not the principle. If there is a rotten apple, suppose you buy a whole case of apples and all the apples are rotten, is it a fair conclusion that there are no pure apples? Because if all apples in creation were rotten, that would be the fruit, correct? Rotten apple would be the fruit. No, but we look for. So what happens is previous experiences, they influence our present, relationships or impressions of things or persons. What else? Why is authority a problem? Yes, Rasa Mataji. Ah. Very good, thank you. They have pride that, oh, I have to accept someone else's, I don't know everything. There is something to be known by me. And my pride will say, why ask someone else? Find out on your own. Don't go by what others say. On your own, figure it out on your own. Attachment to what? Okay. So if that's the general aversion towards authority, in reality, are people accepting authority? Yes? What authority are people accepting? Mind, exactly. We have surrendered completely to the mind to such a degree that we are slaves, right? Something that we are afraid of, that another authority will make me, will subjugate me, therefore I cannot surrender to, or word surrender is like another S word, I cannot do it. But when it comes to the mind, dasosmi, dasoham, like anything, slave to the mind. So actual authority, the Krishna and Krishna's representatives, their sense of authority is to give us freedom. But people don't like freedom, per se. Why? Because people like to be in their miserable conditions. They don't like to change it, like Michael was saying. They've become used to. You see some people, they become used to their suffering, that they want to change it. This principle is described in a beautiful pastime about Indra. Shriman Indra had made a mistake, some egregious mistake. And so he was cursed to become a hog. Can you imagine? Like, imagine the change in circumstances of life from king of the demigods. Like, we can't even imagine. We can imagine what life of a pig looks like. But we can't imagine what the life of the king of the demigods means. What must be Indra's opulence? What kind of lifestyle? We don't even see kings anymore, right? We don't know. Some old photographs of some guys riding elephants. Even he rides the elephant, but Airavata. What kind of palace? What kind of gardens and food that he must be eating? What kind of plates he must have? The house that he must live in? The furniture in his house must not be from IKEA for sure. Something, you know, really good stuff, ivory, whatever, wonderful thing. From there, like, very big shift down to a hog's body. And, you know, he was frolicking in dirt and mud and, you know, I guess oink oink or grunting and all. And Lord Brahma came to him and he said, "You're in a very, very miserable condition. You're actually Indra, the king of heaven. Please drop it. I'm going to take you back." You know what is Indra's answer? "No, no, no. I'm happy here. Don't change anything. You see my children? Little piglets? See my wife? Such a beautiful pig. You see this? My house? You see this? The sty is so nice. Don't change anything, please." "No, no, no. Don't change." This is that atmagate, that they're attached to the senses. From their position, they cannot see the change. They don't want to. It's too uncomfortable. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Krishna comes again and again and says, "Please, I want to give you eternal happiness, a life full of joy, no suffering, no misery of any kind." "No, don't change. You see my little piglets? You see my star? Don't change anything, please. I'm very comfortable. In fact, you give me more. Give me more of this, give me more of that. Don't change anything. I'm actually comfortable here." Because that's somehow they feel that the next destination, whatever Krishna, wherever Krishna wants to take us, cannot be better than where we already are. The only time a person thinks about these things is when some close relative dies. And they have to take the relative to the crematorium. At that moment, when they see their dear relative, friend, whoever, their body burning away, and all that is going to remain is a bunch of ashes, they say, "Life is so delicate, temporary. I should do something about it. You know that Bhagavad Gita, I should dust it off, but maybe I should open it. One day they will read it. and next day back to the same thing. So Prabhupada calls it Smashana Vairagya, that you're very renounced in the funeral home. After that, forget everything. So the reason, two things are they're connected here. One is to see everything in connection with Krishna requires an authority to give us that vision. And that vision begins to purify the heart. It's very important to follow authority. Sometimes we don't like following authority, like we've discussed. There are reasons why we don't follow authority, why someone will not follow authority. And unless they do, the heart will not become purified. And unless the heart becomes purified, they cannot see Krishna. So they're all connected in this way. Rupa Goswami's first step, Guru Padashraya. The purification of the heart, of the impurity, is the sense of, or the false sense of proprietorship and exploitation. Because in proprietorship is enjoyment. We think, oh, if I own something, I'll enjoy it. Paramakaruna has, let's say, a fancy phone. He's the owner of it. And he's swiping it and smiling and downloading pictures and all this. Where's that 41 megapixel phone? Fancy phone and all that. So he's the owner. He's enjoying it. No, I don't have it. So I can't enjoy it. So ownership and enjoyment are very strongly connected. But actually Krishna is the only owner and therefore the enjoyer. And we are not wired for ownership. What are we wired for? Service. We're not wired for ownership. Therefore, anything we own causes problems. Death is a problem. It takes away our ownership. Second, since we are not wired for ownership, we try to control something that we own and it gives us problems. Try controlling someone and see how it feels. They never want to be controlled. Right? Anyone, whether it's children, spouse, subordinates at work, people in general, even an animal. How much you have to pay money to train your dog, sit, fetch. It takes a lot of money, a lot of training. And after that, you still have to be sure that one day this fellow will not run away somewhere. Controlling is not easy. And we're not wired for it. We're wired for service. So the moment we align ourselves with service, we actually become happier. And as long as we're trying to control something, the sense of happiness is just in the, it's a promised thing, something that is elusive. So that's what Chitraketu is speaking about. The Kuyogi, now, when he talks of Kuyogi, then there must be a Suyogi or a proper yogi, one whose senses are controlled. The controlling of the senses is that they do not grab, they do not own things that are not theirs. They cannot own something that's not theirs. This is a yogi. Okay, I'll stop. Any comments, questions? Himangi? Himangi?
I have two questions.
Okay.
I'm trying to formulate them. It is the first one is like, one is like the ownership of commodities. Like, you know, when you become a devotee, you know, at least personally, I can say to give up things was much easier. The ownership of conceptions, like, you know, you have certain conceptions and you almost like own them. To give those up is far more difficult. It's much subtler. than giving up external things. So, how can you give up? And kind of my second question is related to the first one, is like, Sri Radhika was saying, because of past experiences, to accept authority, like implicitly, is difficult. Sometimes in the beginning, it's much easier to accept an authority when you come to Krishna consciousness, because there is this initial enthusiasm and this hope, and you have this faith, yeah, we're now, you know, taking shelter of Krishna and devotees of Krishna, and like, you know, you, and even when you are experiencing something, you, it's easier for you to say, you know, but, you know, my authority is in, you know, Krishna is somehow orchestrating this in your life. But as years go by, but your experiences are very much similar to what your experiences were before you came to Krishna consciousness. And what if the authority says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake the first time, you say, it's okay, you know, okay, it happens. But if it is like almost like it's repeated, you know, it repeats, then again you kind of start losing faith in the authority. Then what can one do?
First question.
Or what, not one do, I can understand that, theoretically I understand that Krishna's hand is there in it, and there is some purification for us. How should one deal when they're in that phase where there is a theoretical understanding, but the heart is agitated?
Mm-hmm. So the first question, it's easier to give up things, but it's not so easy to give up conceptions. The same principle, ownership, the idea that ownership gives happiness. So whether it's things that we own or conceptions that we own, conceptions such as, this is my path to happiness, this is my path to security, safety, whatever those things are, we own those ideas. And the process of accepting higher authority is to summon the gyan, is to systematically replace those conceptions. We talked yesterday of receptivity. So unless those conceptions change, the only thing that will show difference or change is the behaviors. Like yesterday's class, we were talking about behavioral changes come easier. There's no problem putting on a dhoti, tilak, and saying fried out and far out is not difficult. It's easy. It's the inner peace that takes more work, more time. It's the same thing. We hold on either to things or to ideas, because that ownership gives us happiness. That's just the principle. So we have to learn to be, at least we may not give it up now, right away, but at least there should be a willingness that I will give that. And that willingness comes from one's relationship with authority. I'm using the word authority, you can use say guru if you like. That's, I'm being very general for now. That relation, the strength of relationship gives the strength to leave. So as we are cultivating this strength, to that degree the grip is loosened. And if this relationship is challenged, the grip becomes tighter. And what to do if the authority, whatever, because of past experience, and again the authority says, oh, I made a mistake. Well, most worldly authorities cannot even accept their mistake. So at least someone is saying, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Another is that the conception that spiritual master can never make a mistake, or whoever authority, no, any authority we can't say. Particularly if we are talking about, let's say, spiritual master. I'm generalizing your question because all authorities are not the same. Okay, we have to be able to discern this authority. That discernment is necessary. Otherwise, we'll become blind that every authority is flawless. This is not true. But those who are playing the role of spiritual master, it's not that they cannot make a mistake. They can. Just last night, I read something, okay, which may help. At least the principle may help. It may not solve the situation, and I'm not hoping to solve it either. Yudhishthir Maharaj performed this Rajasuya Yajna. And for his Rajasuya Yajna, all of his relatives came and they did menial services. It is written that they all do menial services. Duryodhana was also there. He also did menial service for Yudhishthir Maharaj. He was responsible for taking care of something, I forget right now. Arjuna was in the guest reception service. Krishna took the service of washing the feet of all the guests who came for Rajasuya Yajna. So they all did some menial service because it was King Yudhishthira's coronation or whatever, Rajasuya Yajna. And after the Yajna was over, everyone was happy. They all left from that assembly blessing Yudhishthir Maharaj. Duryodhan became a little disturbed. He became disturbed when he saw Yudhishthir Maharaj's opulence. How fantastic this. And it's described that the palace was built by Maya Danava, who's the he's something to do in the universe. He creates all these mystical things. And Duryodhan was disturbed. I was very surprised. I did not know this. He was disturbed because he saw Yudhishthir Maharaj with Draupadi. And he had feelings for Draupadi. So he couldn't feel happy that she was with him. And so in that disturbed state, he walks into this palace. And the palace's architecture was so wonderful that what looked like the solid floor was actually a pool of water. And what looked like water was actually the solid floor. So when he walks in, he sees this seemingly pool of water. So he picks up his dhoti like that and is about to step there. And then he realizes, oh, it's the solid floor. And then he continues walking and it's water, but it looks like the solid floor. He steps there and psh, falls in the water. And everyone laughs. Like it's like America's funniest video. People get crashed and they get beat up and the whole world laughs. Oh, ha. So they all laughed. And the scene is that when Bhima and the queens and they all laughed, the only two persons who didn't laugh were Yudhishthir Maharaj and Krishna. In fact, it said that Yudhishthir, he got up from his seat and with his eyes and hands gestured to Bhima and Draupadi, don't laugh. Krishna, on the other hand, just with his eyes, he did not stop them. He actually indicated that they can continue laughing. And the verse says that because Krishna's ultimate objective was to relieve the earth of the burden of demoniac kings, he orchestrated this for Duryodhana to exactly happen like that. So there is the grand plan, whatever that grand plan is. And in that grand plan, in fact, Krishna wanted this and Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted that. Not that he was against Krishna, but he said, oh, don't laugh. Because Krishna said, no, let it happen. Because actually from that incident, Duryodhana's animosity started growing. He started doing all sorts of cruel things, and the families broke up. The family, the big joint family, broke up. They started fighting with each other. In fact, not just fighting and quarreling, they started almost they were at each other's throats. Duryodhan went and insulted Draupadi. The whole thing came from that incident. So it happens, and that's fine. Krishna can orchestrate different things. The ultimate exercise for all of us is, what is Krishna helping us with? What is it? And one lesson is that those past experiences may seem exactly like this experience, but they're not the same. Because this is happening in the jurisdiction of Krishna. That conviction is something we have to work on to develop. Like myself included, we all are trying to develop. Because we used to feel hungry previously, we feel hungry now also. Similar experience of hunger. We made mistakes then, we make mistakes now. Things like that. But there is something different. And it is our job, like yesterday's class, it is our job to find out what is Krishna addressing for us. What is it? And it's not easy to, that we don't get that answer just because we asked it. Oh, what is it? It doesn't come so easily. There is something Krishna wants us to develop before that answer will come. And for each person, it's a different thing. This is my realization of it. I could be totally off here. But that's what I've been thinking about. What is it that Krishna is trying to address for me?
And sometimes that waiting period is very long. And so how do you remain enthusiastic?
Long. Yeah, so that's the back to the original point, Sambandhagyan. We have to take shelter of that Sambandhagyan. There are many personalities, either in Bhagavatam or later in our Acharyas, who've gone through similar experiences. And we take shelter of them actually. Because they're showing us that one day Krishna will answer, whenever we may take days, months, years, lifetimes in some cases. But there is Krishna's addressing something. Whatever that is, I don't know what it is. But he's addressing something. And it's that's what we have, I guess my appreciation of it is. Karunanidhi has been waiting, sorry.
It is stated that Krishna Nitya Dasa Jivata Bhuli Gala Maya Tara Galai Bandila, means once we forget we are the servant of Krishna, immediately Maya is shackled our neck. And another thing in Nectar of Devotion, I remember you are teaching that pridelessness, Manasanyata, like in Raja Man Singh, how he left up everything, you know. Then, and Bhagirath, I think King Bhagirath, yeah. Bhagirath and they went to beg from door to door. Because there Prabhupada has mentioned that how one should be ready to get offended. When the begging means to get offended from the opposition, even from the political enemy, he was begging. And also there is a nice word in Nectar of Devotion, and he told that Angrahupasana. That is how we defy authority. Means, you know, that is a subtle mind, how we defy.
Angrahupasana means one worships oneself. I am Brahman.
Yeah, and I surpass the authority, means I don't care.
That's why you see in Hindu ceremonies, they do what is called Atma Pradakshina. They stand there and go round and round in that spot. You've seen that? You've not seen? They stand like this. Instead of circumambulating the deity, they circumambulate right standing there.
Where?
You've not seen Hindu people do like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in South
it's
India.
Atma
South India, they also, yeah.
Because Aham Brahma is me. I am Brahman. I circumambulate myself.
And they do sometimes like this. Why?
Oh, that is different. Oh, you had your hand raised first. After check. Sorry.
So the pastime that you described, I think it's causing a little like discomfort in my heart because I must be misunderstanding it. It looks like
It's causing discomfort. Why?
Well, it looks like Krishna is like making an arrangement for someone to feel pain and therefore anger, and then they act out in a sinful way. So who is responsible for that sinful activity then?
Well, Krishna is always the doer, right? No. It's not that Arjuna, it's not that Duryodhana was like a saint, and because Krishna did something that he became sinful. He was already sinful. Krishna knows that in his heart, like a whole pot of envy is waiting. And that envy he will use to destroy himself and others. So karmically, just an arrangement was made for what's already there to be exhibited. In our lives too, we see that there is something in our heart and Krishna will make arrangement for it to be demonstrated to others. Good or bad, it will come. So it comes out for ourselves to see it. It's important to see it. Sometimes we are in denial. No, I'm actually very humble. Something happens and immediately we see it. Whoa, really? So it's already there. And Krishna's appearance, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, that whenever there is a decline in religious principles, Krishna appears to set things right. And part of setting things right was to teach Duryodhana a lesson. From Krishna's heart, we should understand that is also love. A parent, when they want to teach a child a lesson, that's also love. It's not like grudge, it's love. Just love can manifest this way and that way. It manifested that way for Duryodhana. It's also love though. It's not that Krishna is impelling sinful activity. Because it's described that Krishna, Paramahamsaya, is the supreme pure. So sin cannot touch Krishna. So Krishna is always loving, eternally loving, in fact infinitely loving to Duryodhana and to Yudhishthira. Would it be nice that if Krishna didn't do anything, that Duryodhana would make things worse for himself? Would that be nice? No. So Krishna helped move things such that it says that Duryodhana achieved Swarupa. He achieved his constitutional position. Because he died in the presence of Krishna. It is to help him another way. But yesterday we heard about Sishupal. The whole assembly, he was insulting Krishna left, right and center. And Krishna with the Sudarshan just cut off his head. And now that is not like, so that he will not be more envious. Because the more he speaks, the worse it's getting for him. So sometimes like Maharaj says, he cut off his speaking part from the rest of his other parts. Because they have such animosity, Krishna reciprocates such. When we go to fire, fire itself is neutral. If we put a nice pot of water and boil it, it'll boil and we can do things with that water. But if I take the fire and try to hurt someone, there's always a risk that I'll hurt myself. So it depends on how I'm interacting with fire, that fire will interact with me. If I'm not careful with it, I'll get burned. If I'm careful with it, I can make wonderful things happen. Like that. And with Krishna, how we approach him, that's how he reciprocates back with us. Okay? Sri Radhika? Jitendra, was your hand? Did you say want to say something? Okay. Was that a yes or no?
Prabhu, I have three questions if there's time.
One question. Two, we can pick your most burning one.
So we were speaking of how persons that don't accept any authority, they are also accepting the mind. But people identify so closely with their mind that I had this conversation with someone where they're comfortable, you know, accepting the mind. That's okay because they feel that is them. Right. So they don't feel that that is an authority outside of themselves. Where to go with that kind of a,
Depends on the person. Sometimes they have to pay tuition at the school of hard knocks, as they say. And some lessons need to be learned that way. What to do? I mean, one can try as best or one's best to try to avoid that. But, you know, if they can't learn from hearing, they have to learn it from experience. But they have to learn it some way. And Krishna will definitely teach it. As long as the person is sincerely chanting, Krishna will teach that lesson for sure. So sometimes one has to be able to discern, okay, in this case, they have to learn it the hard way. In some cases, they may learn it better if they see someone else going through a very similar situation. Sometimes they learn it when a particular story or pastime hits them in a particular sort of way. For each person, where they are, it's just different. And that is the reason the mind is tricky, because it acts like a friend, is an authority, but the outcome is like enemy. Krishna describes in the sixth chapter, don't think the friend is a mind. The mind is a friend. It can be your friend if it elevates you. Otherwise, it's the most formidable enemy. Atma Bandhu, or it can be Atma Ripur. Ripur means enemy. It can very nice. Yesterday, Jitendra Prabhu said, even the road to hell is paved with good intentions. He'll put a hand around our shoulder and say, come on, everything is all right. I'm there with you. Let's go. And push us off the cliff. Very tricky fellow, or filly, depending on who it is. Okay. All right, it's 8:43. So we'll stop here and then we'll take the other questions. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
We are trying to restrict the senses with mind well. So mind is a kind of one kind of sense. So we are restricting the senses. Now how the mind can be in the sense of that?
Because Krishna describes later that if the sense gets attached to an object,